Well, I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18, preaching on an excellent father figure. Now, a good picture of an excellent father figure would be a solid, stable image. Such a father would be caring. Such a father would be spiritually sound. And something like exceptional wealth, though, that would not be a priority for such a person. Being a celebrity, that's not important. Good looks are not it. Manifesting love, Christian love, manifesting stability is there. Showing humility is a very big one. Seeking God in biblical life should be there. Now, in respect to you, in respect to me, our lives, your Christian walk, God has ordained such a father figure for you in the Apostle Paul. Paul is your teacher. He's also your illustration from God. Now, I'm going to go through 4, 1 through 18 now. And Paul says he and Apollos should be regarded as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, Paul, it's a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I'm not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. And by the way, the Lord does that with all of us. Then Paul says, verse 5, therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Now, this was the understanding back then that they were looking forward to, was the Lord Jesus to come at any day. And so that's what he's talking about. And then each man's praise will come to him from God, Paul says. Now, these things, brothers and sisters, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, meaning stick with Paul's example and teachings. Stick with God's word. He says, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. And then Paul asks questions that get you thinking. For who regards you as superior? Well, maybe their own selves. That doesn't matter. Then he says, what do you have that you did not receive? Nothing. And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Because they're not thinking right. And then Paul explains by showing contrasts. You are already filled. You have already become rich. Apart from us, you have come to reign as kings. Now, that's sarcasm about how they acted. And indeed, I wish that you really did reign as kings, so that we, apostles, also would reign with you. For I think God has exhibited us, apostles, last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. Now again, remember what Paul's doing. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and are poorly clothed, are roughly treated, and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to entreat. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. Now, this description of God's apostles is far from the typical Corinthian. But Paul says this, I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Now, this is the point, like his loved children, like a father figure. So he says, for if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Now, that statement right there is the theme of the sermon. And then plus what Paul says next, which is based on it. Paul says, therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. And for this reason, being imitators of Paul, Paul says this, I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ. Just as I teach everywhere in every church. This is just the way he always taught. This is Paul. This is what God's given him to teach. Now, some have become arrogant, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon if the Lord determines, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the reign, the kingdom of God, does not consist in words, but in power. What do you desire? And Paul describes the options of the ways of a father depending on the attitude of his children, he says, shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Prepare your heart for this sermon. Your father figure teaches you humility. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that I can be used by you to preach from your word, which is the truth, and it's accurate. And I thank you, Father God, that you're using Paul the Apostle to teach us his ministry extending from back when you first called him in your plan to reach to us, to guide us, to be our counselors. And we ask, Father, that we would receive, believe, and we would live what we get. In Jesus' name, amen. So as God foresaw your existence, which is what I was considering in my prayer, Paul's presentation of himself as the father figure is a presentation to you. So you need to think of yourself. And think of Paul as God's earthly spiritual father given to guide you into the ways that ordinary Christian people live, the extraordinary ways of Christ Jesus. And Paul's like an exceptionally loving father. He's guiding you like you are his. And of course, all this is happening by the Spirit. So when Paul says, imitate him, you have the biblical understanding about it. And like the Corinthians, we all need guidance. I need guidance. We need correction from a specially ordained father who operates under Father God for our guidance. No matter how mature you think you are, you never, ever stop needing this. And it's the same way with me. Now, you might be thinking, well, God only wants me to follow Jesus. But notice what Paul says here. Follow my ways, which are in Christ. And over in 11:1, he said, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. God's intention is to use Paul as a key figure who has fleshed out the life of Christ, and he's fleshing it out in his own life, think about that, according to the revelations from God given to him. So think, God gave me Paul as my spiritual father figure to help me learn from someone who's doing the lessons, not just teaching them, but doing them. Go to the parts of the Bible associated with Paul and have that thought in mind. I mean, you can get to other scriptures at any time, but in this, make yourself intentionally be a student of Paul to get God's special lesson for reflecting the image of Christ as a humble servant. And one of the first things that you're going to find God teaching you is purposeful humility, intentional humbleness. And you're going to find that Paul's humility was there for the reason that matters, because he was seeking to live the way of Christ. He's not using a fake humility to try to manipulate people. He's not using a humility that's just because he's been beaten down, no. It's because he's seeking to live the way of Christ. So there's your lesson. When you find that, this excellent father figure explained in Philippians 2, 3 through 8 that you should have a humble way of thinking which considers others to be more important than you are. Well, don't be stuck on your own desires. Look out for the interests of other people. Well, now when Paul said that, this is the point. When he said that, he's pointing to Jesus and not himself, but Jesus. And as Paul did those same things, he never pointed to his own humbleness, but the humble, loving attitude of Jesus that we all need to have. And so this father figure shows us what it is to be doing it, to be living it, diminishing yourself over and over and over again, because it's a nonstop process. Paul was going through a nonstop process. You're doing that while always looking to Jesus as the one that you're trying to be like ultimately, okay? So listen to the Spirit as he brings you, Paul, see? Study the details of how Paul regarded others as more important than his own self. He's an apostle, and he's done this. In all the lessons that you can get from God's word, Paul's example is important because it shows God's apostle being a certain way by making sure humility was his only way. And he shows you that no matter how important you are, this is the choice that you can and you should also do. And there's another lesson in Paul's example. Paul said, people should regard us apostles a certain way as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, Paul knew his calling was really big, but he operated like it was all from Jesus. That's the way he was going along. And Paul acted like it was a privilege to be a servant of Christ, a slave in ownership to Christ Jesus, doing what the master says, you do this, and that's what you need to do. He thought this was a privilege. And the weight of how to view this is to understand that the cultural servants in Paul's day were considered just property. All their gifts, all their talents were meant to glorify one person, the master who owned them. And being a steward, that was special. That meant you were a certain kind of slave. The steward back then had the greatest responsibility for accomplishing the goals of the master concerning the master's household. Paul loved the servanthood. See, he loved the enslavement. He loved the self-diminishing but high responsibility existence as his privilege. And God wants us, he wants me, wants you to humbly, purposely love serving him like this. Not just serving him as the term is used so many times in our culture, but like this, seeking his goals for him, doing what he says simply because of this one reason. He says do it. See? Diminishing yourself wherever you are, like at work, at home, wherever you're out with the guys, out with the girls, diminishing yourself in the process in an appreciative honor like it's a privilege. And then Paul asks, who regards you as superior? Talking to the Corinthians, who, by the way, thought they were. You know, there's a danger if other people regard you as superior. You know what it is? You might start believing it. See, pride has ways of sneaking into our hearts. Very clever. The high views of others about you can get to your head, and the high views of yourself can expand your head. Be very aware of this and quickly get rid of it when it comes. The father figure explains the truth that he operated in. It quickly dispatches the temptation. He proclaimed the way of thinking that all are on equal ground in God's plan, like being one. Paul showed it in recognizing that he and Apollos are one. And so think of yourself with your talents. You're simply part of everyone, meant in God's eyes as being one, the body of Christ. Everything you have needs to be seen with the proper perspective like Paul had. Paul asked, what do you have that you did not receive? Well, you know the right answer. We don't think like humanists. You know the right answer. What do you have that you didn't receive? And then Paul asks, since you received it from God, why do you boast as if it was not received? Why is that the way you're acting? And so in that excellent father-like way, Paul pointed out the reality in his own self. My message and my preaching are not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Well, you can do that. Diminish yourself by the reality of giving God all the glory in everything that he deserves and should be getting. Takes it off of you, pushes it away from you, gives it worship back what it needs to be, keeps you in check at each point in your life. You see, the Corinthians are the examples of the juveniles in this. They had all kinds of gifts from God. Yeah, they were blessed from God. And they had people there prophesying in such amazing ways that they were publicly revealing the exact intentions of men's hearts, right there exposing it all in a prophetic utterance. Real prophecy, by the way. Not some of this fake stuff that you see going on today, you know, where it sounds like somebody's reading a horoscope that can mean anything anybody wants it to be. And they were supernaturally speaking with mysterious languages. They had men who were eloquent in their oratory presentations. They even had money and material wealth. This is Corinth. This is the church there. But here's what they did. They turned all that into regarding themselves as superior. Paul says, get real. God gave you what you have. It's all a stewardship of servants. And the Spirit takes hold of you in this. Listen to him. Keep reminding yourself. Even say it to God, like in little prayer reminders. My talents, Lord, my possessions, even all that I've worked for, even all that I've practiced to perfect, it's all from you, God. You've given me whatever I have, my mind, my fame, my time, everything. And tell God why. You know, I know you've given me all I have to equip me in this life to be a prepared, useful, and faithful servant and steward of you and the riches that you're the one that gave me because of you, for what you want. See? And now when Paul said, I think God exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men, Paul said something there that's very interesting. He said, I think. It's all about the way that you think. The inside lesson on this is that being called by God to be an apostle is something that someone with a wrong perspective would think should be exhibited as superior. And we get a lot of that nowadays with people who have talents. They think, you know, I need to be exhibited as superior. But see, that's not what the Spirit's thinking here. The Spirit's thinking is brought out by making the father figure into a contrast with the affluent Corinthians. With the Corinthians have all these spiritual gifts as well. In a city that puts up with dozens of religions, they were very safe. They were comfortable in their church community. Plus, they had all those spiritual manifestations going on. Plus, they were well off financially. And this is what they were. They were a display of all that. But God exhibited the apostles in the background as a display of being last of all. And yet the apostles had seen Christ. They were commissioned by him. They're the ones that came in, evangelized, planted the church. They're the ones with the authority. The Corinthians were used to authority figures having a lot of money. They were used to authority figures showing strong dominance. You know, cultural rulers even had the power to condemn people to death. But God displayed the apostles as the men who got condemned to death. So see, the right understanding and the spiritual perspective is so different than the way we think. The father figure, Paul, had it though. So do what he's telling you. He's your counselor, and he says, judge yourself properly. Now this gets me to another striking observation that Paul had. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. This reminds me of a bumper sticker my brother-in-law had way back decades ago. It said, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? When the excellent father says to the children, I'm a fool for Christ, but you're prudent in Christ, this is the thing. He's not praising the Corinthians. And he's not saying that the apostles are dummies either. He points out, this is what he's been doing, he's pointing out the contrast when it came to trying to, at this point, to be safe from harm. The apostles took the risky chances. They're going out on the limb. They're the ones who walk by faith, not by sight, when it came to entering into the lion's den. They proclaim things which invite persecution. Fleshly prudence only sought to avoid these things. Worldly prudence says the superior way is to be reserved, tolerant, socially blended in for acceptance. Now, that kind of prudence is easily impressing the world. And so it does little to impress the world, though, in truth and reality. But the apostles were not out to do what the world thinks is prudent. When Paul said the foolishness of God is wiser than men, part of the meaning is that the foolishness of God is not out to win friends and influence enemies. You see, wisdom for us is to imitate the father figure. And if you're not already a fool for Christ, you need to be. Step out of the barriers that are called prudent. Walk by faith in what does not make sense to the fleshly mind. You know, the father figure also said, we are weak, but you are strong. You know, this is the contrast of trusting in the arm of the flesh versus trusting in the Lord. There's a certain kind of self-reliance which has the root problem of not being humble. Paul had no physical, political, or monetary strength to rely upon for advancing the gospel. But Paul had all those things back when he was unsaved as a Pharisee of Pharisees. Political, monetary strength, all the people, his people back then, those people loved him. But then Paul became spiritually saved. And now the world hates him. Walked all over him. Now he's even getting walked on by immature Christians. He was always depending on the strength that God supplies. And that's a lesson. Beware of the trap of thinking that you're strong. Recognize yourself as always needing the strength of the Lord. I think of a saying that is so true. There are two kinds of people. Those who are humble and those who are about to be humbled. Relying on the Lord in all things is to be humble in all things. That's how to always be mighty as a servant of his. Paul also said, you are distinguished, but we are without honor. He's talking about the apostles. The apostles were not revered like the local rulers of the synagogue, who, we are told, were the first converts in Corinth. The apostles were not in the arts and entertainment spotlight of Corinth, which was a huge thing there. They're not considered to be successful businessmen like a lot of those in Corinth. Very money-oriented city. Success in that aspect oriented. They were not war heroes who had fought for Caesar and inside the city of Corinth. Some of those lived there. They weren't like the popular poets, which were very popular then, politicians, social climbers, that was huge. None of the merchants of the day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:11, I am nothing. Talking about the father figure. But what that means is that Paul knew that he was everything that God wanted him to be. You, me, we all need to be learning from the father figure, from God, about this. It's only when we are nothing that we are going to truly be something. It's a lesson that's, once it opens your eyes, God puts this in me all the time. It gives you a whole different perspective. When you embrace this, which you must do, by the way, by pure faith, you will be like Paul. And what that means is pure power in God's hand. Paul also said, we are hungry, thirsty, poorly clothed, and homeless. But yet he was ministering the true riches. Don't fall for the garbage that modern teachers try to shove down your throat. They arrogantly preach that Paul had a faith problem. It's crazy. But they act so assured as they claim that Paul experienced problems because he didn't claim his riches and faith that God had for him. But God says all of us need the faith of his true minister and excellent father figure, which is Paul. Listen to Paul, not the juveniles of our day who teach ear candy things that rot your mind. Paul is clear in what the Spirit wants you to understand. Paul is not wrong. He is not lacking in faith. No. God wants you to recognize that your lot in life is ultimately in God's hands as you have faith in what he has decided to do with you. Paul knew that he would eat. He knew that he's going to drink, even get better clothing, if that's what God wants to give him. He does have faith in that. Now take note of this. Paul actually did say God provided all of Paul's needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yeah. You know why he said that? Because that's the real faith. Study Paul. And God provided a roof for Paul to lay down under at night when God thought Paul really needed this type of thing in the grand scheme of things. So don't ever get this wrong. This excellent father figure had all the faith in God he needs to get all he needed to get. Now, when you go to God, this is what happens with us. Believe he answers prayers with amazing provision. Believe God will do so for you too, yet according to his will. Do that and also be an excellent figure yourself. You can rest assured. You have the faith that you need to get all that God thinks you need to get in his understanding of the grand scheme of things. You know, Paul goes on and he says he's roughly treated. The Greek literally means to be hit with a fist. Paul was hit by people in his persecution that he was getting for Christ Jesus. Hit by people. Those Corinthians were not getting hit for Christ. Not very many of us are. They were not on the streets telling everyone that they're perishing in their sins unless they receive Jesus. But even if they were, okay? Even they were getting persecuted this way. Such persecution still doesn't make them, doesn't make you, doesn't make any of us, me, superior to anybody else. Remember the humility and embrace it. Embrace it. The father figure also said, we toil working with our own hands. Chapter 9, Paul argued his God-given right to be supported financially by the church. The Macedonian Christians, the Philippians, were especially known for supporting Paul throughout his whole ministry. Paul knew it was God's mandate. But Paul told the arrogant Corinthians that since he sowed spiritual things in them, he should also reap for them. But he decided not to use this right with them anyway. See, what he knew was that in their immaturity about money issues, it might cause a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. That's what he says. So he and Barnabas decided to load themselves with extra burdens to keep from offending the immature troublemakers there. Corinthians were a mess, but hey, so are we. So instead of doing what Paul said God ordained as good and right, Paul opted for something that was also good and right. In humbleness, he sought what he thought would be best for others as a really good evangelism strategy. So what he was doing is more than he had to do. But that's the lesson that keeps on teaching you, doing more than you have to do. And Paul showed it in many ways. He said, when we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to entreat. You can get ridicule, rejection, and even attack just because you're serious about serving the Lord with your life. I get attacked all the time for doing one thing, preaching verse by verse from God's word. That's what it is. That one thing that I'm doing, I get attacked all the time, not by the world, but by Christians. So what do you try to do? What should I do, Carrie? Try to bless those people. That should be their payback. Slander is a weapon. Try to bring diplomatic healing when you get slandered. This is not the typical way that anyone deals with things, by the way. And so what Paul is showing us is our call to live the new typical, which I guess we could say is the old. Paul also said we have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. Now, as God's servant, the world rejected him like he was dross floating on the top of wine as it was being made, dross to be scraped off the surface, cast aside, and they treated him like the dregs at the bottom of the wine jug. Not the fine wine itself, but look at who Paul really was. He was the fine wine sent from God to lead people to Christ, teach them God's ways. Actually, I'm teaching what Paul teaches right now. I'm using the father figure. And yet, Paul understood that in God's will concerning his life, this is the way it had to be. And what this is, it's humility. Remember, he appreciated it. It was a privilege. But this is humility, and it's humility applied. Applied to all things in faith. So that's our big lesson that we have here. That's what we should be taking home with us. Listen to your fatherly teacher as you seek the godly pattern of self-diminishing humility. Be appreciative of what he's given you and where you are. This is the testimony that God wants you to proclaim. This is what he wants you to be with everyone. Amen?